Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning fellowship here in South Carolina with Fisherman Ministry. Let's worship the Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
I will praise you all my days.
You're perfect in all your ways.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord. I will obey your word.
I will obey your word.
I want to see your kingdom come.
I want to see your kingdom come.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are. Take me into the land.
You take me into the land.
We will conquer in your name.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful.
Changing, your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am confounded. Your love carries me. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. And I feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing.
Well, thank you, Lord, for bringing us together this morning in your house with your people. Please do receive our word. And Father, for those that walk in with needs, sin, or whatever, we know that you are a redeemer, and we worship you. In Jesus' name.
Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on more power than I've ever seen.
finding more power than I've ever seen. I'm learning to rest in Him.
You made it in. Welcome. Still spending a lot of time in 1 John, Jude, Colossians, inevitably. It's the Reader's Digest version. If you only had a few minutes and you wanted the whole gospel, you can do it in 4 chapters. It's like no other book in the Bible. So I'm listening to the progression of songs, you know, and I lay this stuff out. And, I have some general guidelines to go by, but it amazes me how often things just work, you know, the presence of the Spirit. And I've had a kind of a disjointed week at work. And, we talk about putting on the uniform. And if you've had the baptism of the blood, then you are standing in the body and you are His. And so much of what I find myself chasing, I guess in Christian parlance, it would be victory. That victory is already given. It's already won. And I find myself over and over and over again, I'm fighting for something that's just flat out been given to me. You know, trying to walk uprightly, trying to walk perfectly. And it plagues me. And I would guess that for any believer that would be an ongoing issue to learn to stand in that victory that's been given. So I called Davey, which is always uplifting and always scary if you're like me. Because you don't ever quite know what you're going to get. And I was talking to him about, started out with a question in Colossians, and he said, well, you know, Brad, sin cannot exist in the presence of faith. Cannot exist. You know, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we know that our faith even was a gift, because if we're walking uprightly in Him, it's actually His faith working through us, because ain't nothing good about you. You're like me, right? It's already been given, and to learn to walk in that faith. But I was, sometimes I'll hear something, I know it's true, but I kind of don't know what to do with it. It takes me a while to, you know what I'm saying? I do accept it as true, but to try to integrate that into how I approach a normal work day or something. But this idea that sin cannot exist in the presence of faith, if we're walking in the faith of Jesus Christ, JC, would you mind putting that paper down and not rattling it? Thank you. If you're walking in the faith of Jesus Christ, then that sin doesn't attach to you. And you can see this in the Bible. You look at Gideon, you know, he whooped the Philistines of 300 guys. Did you know that Gideon reintroduced idolatry into the city of Jerusalem? It's probably decades after that. You can look at Samson. Well, Samson liked the ladies. And yet, now, for Samson, Samson's walking in the faith of God, in the grace of God, in the power of God, leading Israel to victory after victory. He was absolutely God's man and a man of God in that moment, in that sin. If I were to look at him, if I'd been standing there looking at Samson, I'd be thinking, my gosh, how can these two things coexist? And now I'm not recommending that you go off and do something dumb. But if you're walking in the faith of God, there are things being worked out in your life in that moment. And the fact that you stumble and you fall doesn't mean that the Lord's done with you. In fact, we know from James, count it all joy, right? When you fall, count it all joy. You stand back up, you go to the Lord just like the first day you came to him, with nothing to offer except need and sin. And I find over and over that he's right there. Yeah? We talk about making Jesus your Lord and Savior. Well, and the common line is, you know, it's easy to make him your Lord. It's easy to make him your Savior because you can ask for that, but it's hard to make him your Lord. Well, I know that's true. But if you consider it, it's hard to let Jesus be your Savior. It's so across the grain. We want to have something to offer. We want that. It's just pride. I mean, if you got anything messing you up and you start tracking through that, of it, you're going to find pride. It's not so easy to allow Jesus to be your Savior. It's especially maybe not easy after you've got a little time under your belt and you know you ought to know better, and maybe you've got many years of having done, you know, right things. You know, your life really has changed and you have a good solid testimony, and yet you still have things that aren't quite there. But it's always the same thing. We come with nothing. We remain with nothing. Is faith working in us? And that, maybe that's rock bottom for your pride, but rock bottom can be some pretty solid ground to stand on. That's really what I wanted to say today.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You know, Brad, Jesus' revelation of himself to us amounted to a lot of interesting things. Like, for instance, when he said, you know, suffer little children to come unto me, for thine is, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? There are two things that are true about children, perhaps more, but two for my purpose. One is that until they are deceived and instructed wrongly, they're innocent. And their trust is in their parents. It's a complete and total trust. And when Jesus left his divinity in heaven and became a man, he became in all ways like as we are, including that when you get born, when you split the womb and come out, it's not all yours. I mean, you don't have all wisdom and knowledge and understanding and ability to operate. You're an immature being with nothing but a total dependence on your mother and father. And that's the relationship, the way our relationship with our Heavenly Father should be, especially since it has been reconciled to us through Jesus Christ. And it is not, you wouldn't want anybody necessarily doing the same momentary critique of what's going on in your life as, for instance, as you sitting there and confessing, because we've all done it. We look at Samson, or we look at Gideon, or we look at whoever we're looking at, and that for that snapshot moment in their life, they look like a mess. But it's the same sort of the way the Lord revelation to us comes. It doesn't all come at one moment to most of us. I mean, if you're an apostle, you might get some other kind of, you might get an experience like Paul got, which is an amazing experience. But most of us don't get that kind of revelation, you know, the whole thing from beginning to end disclosed to us in perfect fashion. So, you know, our experience, even to ourselves, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, kind of looks like a kind of hit and miss kind of an arrangement. But that's how the Lord's grace manifests itself in our lives. That sin doesn't attach itself to us, because He's good and His work's getting accomplished in you. And the only thing you're obligated to do is take His faith and believe Him. It's not about what you do. It's about what He has done. And what He has done is perfect. It's complete. It's enough. It is enough to accomplish what His requirements are. Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Well, because it doesn't come to us naturally. But it is His desire that we get filled with it. Knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Who doesn't need knowledge of His will and all spiritual understanding? When you walk in that, then there's no surprises here. You don't have to keep being redirected back into, it looks like I'm not worthy much more than child. Yeah, well, we keep redirecting your children back in the path that's right, because they kind of wander off. We do that. That's not right. It's not. There's no justification in that. But the Lord's grace is sufficient. That's why there's a provision. It's all joy when you fall. It doesn't say if you fall, it says when you fall. Why? Because it's going to happen. People make mistakes. They choose things wrongly all the time. It's not a good thing. I don't encourage it, but it's how you learn. It's how a toddler learns. When that face hits that floor, it hurts. I need to choose my steps a little better. Not because the Lord hates us, but specifically because He does love us. And we need to grow up into what is Him. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. But don't misread this. It's not that you may walk worthy in your worthiness. It's that you may walk worthy in His worthiness. He's worthy. And the only place you're worthy is in Him. Unto all pleasing and fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's where everybody in this room ought to be craving to be. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Unto the Father. Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. Well, these are two things that don't sound like things that anybody wants to really aspire to, because they usually mean there's some unpleasantness afoot. But it's the training ground of people who are learning to minister as Jesus ministered, to walk as Jesus walked. Because He walked with all patience and long suffering. Even if it's the joy that He saw on the other side of the cross. Because certainly there was nothing that commends itself to our experience on this side of the cross, especially within a few hours while He was nailed up there. This is, again, Him making Himself a living sacrifice because it benefited us and it's what we needed. It was our extended hand unto salvation. As we learned to walk in Him and walk as He walked. Then it's not surprising that we learn patience and long-suffering, patience, unswervable, unmovable. A commitment to His end, to His purpose, to His pleasing, to His ministry to others. This is a perfect plan through the ages. It's His plan. It shouldn't be a surprise. It's a continual reminder that although it looks desperate for us, because we come out of the womb with nothing, He adds all that back to us with patience and long suffering to where we're able to minister it back to others. His goodness, His mercy, His loving kindness. Man, this is what it's about. This is what keeps us going. This is the good news of the gospel. This is why we minister Jesus Christ to others. I'm done.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the children of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the children of His pasture and the sheep of His hand.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think I would have something to say. I've been reading this morning and going into the scripture until people come up and start preaching. Then it just opens up a whole new other era of things that kind of come to mind there. But one of the things is, you guys were talking about counting it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And you're talking about looking at Samson. And what you see, I'm probably going to Timothy here. But what you see is the grace of God being manifested. I mean, and that's really just it. I mean, what else needs to be manifested but Him? I mean, if you look, and I'm trying to find Timothy here. But if you look, look at Samson and Gideon and Moses and David and all those examples. I mean, even in Hebrews 11, it gives you those list of examples, those that believed God. I mean, that's what it really came down to. They believed God to the point of they went and obeyed God in the midst of whatever the case may be. And I look, and what you see is when you see Jesus walked and you see the people that were sinners and they knew that they were sinners. Remember how He ate with publicans and sinners, and that was an offense to the Pharisees and all those things. But what happened was is that those that those that were publicans and sinners could receive Jesus Christ. And it was an offense unto the Pharisees. It was an offense unto the Pharisees. And what you have in the midst of that is the grace of God is just manifested. The gospel of Jesus Christ is manifested time and time again. Over, when I look at Samson, I see the grace of God is what I see. Okay, because I know I am no different than Samson. By any means. And it really just didn't matter what Samson was doing the night before when he got up and the Spirit of the Lord hit him and told him to go do whatever the Lord had him go do. It really didn't matter where he was at the night before or what he was doing. Because it was all about the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay? And we gotta get our minds not wrapped around us and what we have done or what we have done that keeps us from the grace of Christ. We gotta let that go, man. We gotta cast that down and we gotta be able to be strong in the grace that is given unto us. And I don't give a crap what you have done. Turn to Him. I mean, that's really the case of it. You know why you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations? Because you look back at the cross, you see yourself for who you are, and you look back at the cross and see how good and faithful and righteous and how that blood covers you in your sin. And that is a joy because there's no other hope. None. Okay, that's why it's a joy. Okay, that's why Samson could get up and did what he did. That's why David could still be king after he committed murder and adultery. And you can't be hung up on what you've done in the past or what's going on. In the situations or what happened in the situations before, no, you learn from them. You learn from them. You learn to be confident in what He has done and what He is able to do. Because if you're confident in any other thing, man, it's just not worth it. It's not going to save you. It's not going to help you. And if anything is getting magnified except Jesus Christ and what He has done, there's no point. It's called vainglory. You don't want no part of it. You really don't. So what I see when I see David, what I see when I see Samson, what I see when I see Gideon, what I see when I see all those that turn unto the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed on Him, I see hope because that is something I can do. The reason why I can do that is it's because of what He has done in me. Not nothing I have done. Because before that, I was bound to this old man that I don't have to listen to any longer. See, I didn't free myself from that. Neither did you free yourself from that. He freed you from that. He did. So where does we have the boast? None. Not a bit. Not a bit. But what He has given us, we can walk in. And those examples that were given us in Hebrews 11 are those examples that chose to walk in Him regardless of what they had done. They got up to and chose to walk in Him. We can do the same thing. We can do the same thing. Now, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong and the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also." Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I get entangled. Essentially, that's kind of what you were talking about a little bit earlier through the situation. You had some turmoil at work. It's a little bit of entanglement there. But see, what we got is we got freedom from that. See, if we're all about pleasing Him and stepping out in faith in Him, and the battle's already won, or the war's already won, but we have that battle before us, all we have to do is choose to believe in Him in the midst of that thing. Because, see, we're about His business, not our own. And if His grace is that strong, to where it was able to cover all those examples and what they have done and what we have done, I mean, let's face it, we're no different, then what keeps us from going forward in Him? There's really just no excuse as far as that we have the examples to choose to believe. There's no excuse for us not to go forward in that victory that He has given us. And we can have that victory. It's right there before you. But I want to go to Ephesians for a second. Now, if I don't know, I mean, those that were here Thursday night, I was talking about putting off the old man and the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And before we take on, we were talking about learning His ways and being of His mind. And how for years we have learned the wrong way. And when we come unto Him, we're like a child, and we need to trust Him for everything. And we need to stay that way, of course. But we have learned so much wrong stuff, man. We got all this baggage that we just need to get shed of it. And we start learning His ways, not our own. And in the sense of learning His ways, we have every provision just for that. Now, I want to talk about some of His ways that He has set before us. We go to Ephesians 6. And it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And your fathers, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." In the power of His might. And I want to highlight that. Because when we go about doing anything, we just do it hardly as unto the Lord. When we go about doing anything, we're doing it as unto the Lord. And see, as you can see, this way that He has paved out is the way that it ought to be. This is part of His ways. And it highlighted among the church all different positions, especially them in just in the homes themselves. And it talks about servants. It talks about masters. It talks about wives. It talks about children. It talks about fathers. It talks about all these things. We have His way laid down right there before us. And it's very simple. But if you're going to try to do this within your flesh, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's why I highlighted that point of how you do it. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. See, it's the new man that He has given you to be able to walk in this manner. And once again, where do we have of the boast? Nowhere. He's the one that has given it to us. He's the one that has given it to us. And before you take on these things, you first got to put off what? The old man. And if you were here Thursday, or those in the room, I recommend to listen to Thursday, because we talked about putting off that old man. And you were talking about, we were talking about learning His ways. And Paul, you're talking about walking as Jesus walked. And it all starts from just believing Him. Trusting solely in Him. And as we learn His ways. As we learn His ways, that learning comes down through the line of authority in the church. That's how it comes down. And as we start to learn, we get all this garbage that comes up that we think and fancy is so right when it's so dead wrong, and all it tends to is vanity and vainglory. And these things starts to get purged out of us in these things. And praise God. That's why Paul can say, well, I glory in tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I was talking about how I became a manager and learned all these TPMS. How did I do that? I started reading up. I had situations that came up constantly, over and over again, where Phil, this ain't working. All right, I gotta find out how to make it work. And I searched diligently for the answer through prayer in the midst of all these things. And at every corner found an answer. I got experience in this thing. And it's the same thing with the Lord. I don't know how to handle situations. Things come up. I call Steve, my brother in the Lord, my discipler. I get direction and clarity on that way. He's a blessing unto me. That's how the Lord set it up for me. That's how the Lord set it up for me. And that's how the Lord set it up for you guys. If you would have it, take advantage of it. It's right there for you. It's right there for you. And so what does it come down to? I mean, we have it all around us, man. We got the freedom of the flesh. The Lord hasn't given, earlier in Timothy, it talks about where Paul's writing to Timothy how He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. He's given us His spirit. He's given us freedom from the old man. He's given us His new man. He's given us clear direction. He's given us His word to be diligently following. I mean, we have everything to learn of His ways. What keeps us back from learning that way? It simply comes down to if you want to or not. That's what it comes down to. Because as I just laid out, there is absolutely no excuse for any of us not to learn His way. None. Is there? None. And see, and that's why when you come before the Lord and that day of His coming, as I'm telling you this, and it said, Lord, I did not know, it would not suffice. You didn't know because you didn't want to know. But see, that's where He tells the Philippians to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we need not to get caught up in anything else but the grace of Jesus Christ and to go forward in Him. If we can yet just choose His way, you'll see a mighty move and a difference being magnified in your life. In a way that what's magnified is Him. No, not that you're some great one. As I kind of look at Clemson and Paul's kind of giving me a report of Clemson, what was going through my mind is they look like a bunch of freshmen out there, man. They look like they never handled the ball in their lives, but they still won. That's might exactly how it look in your life, like, man, that guy's a freaking fumbling idiot, but somehow he is victorious in all these things. Well, why is that the case? It's because of Jesus Christ. I mean, I remember two examples coming back to where my boss came to me when I was working at the cabinet shop, and two examples came to me. He goes, man, this guy didn't have a clue what he's doing. I mean, man, he just got, you know, he's working for a guy that's not paying him, and he's got this girl knocked up, and man, I mean, he doesn't have a place to live, and man alive, I mean, this guy is an idiot. And I'm thinking to myself, George, that is me, man. I said, that is me. He goes, yeah, but you had a plan. I said, I don't think so. I didn't have a plan at all. I didn't know what the crap I was going to do. Quite frankly, I was scared crapless. However, I turned to Jesus Christ. And He provided every single way that I needed. Provided me abundantly above I can ask or think. And the whole situation that was upside down was my fault. The whole situation that was upside down was in my error. And my rebellion. But see, when I turned to Him, He turned that right side up. And He was glorified. And that's the same thing He did with Samson. That's the same thing He did with David. And Moses, and so on, and so on, and so on. So it has nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with Him and His grace and His power, what He has done and what He is able to do. And as we see people's hearts being changed in this ministry before our eyes, that's something that He's doing. Okay? That's not something you're doing. And as He changes you, that's not something you're doing. That's something He's doing. If you allow Him. Because you have every opportunity. But see, He's a gentleman. He's not going to take you by the back of the neck and make you do anything. enemy does that. So are you going to allow him to change you and to let him work mightily in your life? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to be a part of his army? Do you want to be his soldier? That's a choice that you make. That's a choice that you make. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? I tell you what, my God is a good God. Loving, kind Father, the best I have ever known. And choosing Him is always yes and amen. And He has never let me down. I've let Him down, but He has never let me down. He's faithful, and you can trust Him. So choosing Him is the right choice. But choose ye this day.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.